Blog Talk Radio.
Grateful and as always blessed to be a child of the Most High God today. But God has waking me up this morning. God has started me on my way. God has given me a pep in my step and the joy of the Lord in my heart. Thankful, grateful, and blessed. And we should always know that our God is in charge of everything. So many times we want to try to take the place of God, and we cannot. We have to know that whatever is going to happen in our lives, God is the author, God is the finisher, God is the absolute and everything. So I thank God today for his grace. I thank God today for his mercy. I thank God today that he put breath in my body. I thank God today that he is watching over our children, watching over our loved ones, our seniors. And we're asking God to watch over each and every parent and child going through today. So many parents go through alone. They go through the stress and the strain of children in hospital beds. Children that the world is saying have no place in it. But we know, whoo, hallelujah, that every child is important to God. And so we lift up children today. We lift up, God, your word, your mighty word today. For Lord God, you have shown us in your word today. You will show us, for Lord God, that you don't accept profane. You don't accept the profane, and that we must walk in righteousness as we come before you. We must repent of our sins and ask forgiveness for anything we may have done. So, Father God, as I lift up this word this morning, I ask you, Lord God, please forgive me for anything I have done in thought, anything I have done in word, anything I have done indeed. For you, God, are the author and finisher of my faith and of my life. Hallelujah. So, Father God, I lift this word up to you, asking you to bless it, asking you to bless the hearers, asking you to bless readers, asking you to bless those that listen in now and listen in later. Asking you, Lord God, to watch over our pastors and ministers and the fivefold today. And this weekend, as they many get prepared for words to speak, give them rhema words, Lord. Give them rhema words that somebody seeking salvation will find it. Whether it's in the four walls or through evangelism. Father God, I ask you to give us strength and to remind us that many of our forefathers went through so that we may have a better life. that Jesus paid it all on that rugged cross for our sins, that we may be saved and that we may have opportunity for everlasting life in your presence, oh God. So, Father God, I thank you, praise you. I give you honor and I give you glory for another day to be able to work in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, I lift up this word this morning. I lift up everyone that is listening live and later. And I lift up, oh God, your holy name, asking you, Lord God, as I ask every day, to let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength, and you are my redeemer. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for another day. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praising God this morning. Thanking God this morning. I'm got a praise in my heart because I just believe miracles will happen today. I don't know why. I just do. I have faith that God can and will bring about miracles, signs, and wonders in the lives of many on today, because so many have forgotten who's in charge, and who's in charge is the Most High God, and we have to remember that every day. So thanking God again, this is Old Testament Friday, and today we will be in the book of Leviticus and the 24th Psalm, and if time permits, we'll be in Proverbs starting in chapter 9, starting in verse 7. And then on Sunday, we will be in Matthew again, and I'm excited because our New Testament word is all that and some, just like this Old Testament word is giving us laws and understanding on how to live and what is honorable to God and what is not, what to give to God and what don't. You know, God is given complete instructions in this word. He gave complete instructions to the children of Israel, complete instructions on exactly what they need to do. And we got to understand God don't play. Don't come to God with no foolishness because he don't play that. And we'll find that out in the word when we come to some of the sons of Aaron. Two of them exactly who do something they should not do. You know, trying to take the shortcut. We can't take shortcuts with God. We got to come correct and we got to come ready to receive whatever it is that God has for us. So let's get into this word. So please join me in Leviticus chapter 5, and we will be reading chapter 5 through chapter 10 today. And our psalm again will be the 24th psalm. And the word of God says in chapter 5 of Leviticus. Oh, and I'm sorry, housekeeping first. This is Moving Forward with Minister Bridget, Blog Talk Radio. And I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. When you hear me say life lessons, life questions, examples, those are commentary from Dr. Stanley. So let's get started. Now we can. And it says, if a person sins in hearing the utterance of an oath and is a witness, whether he has seen or known of the matter, if he does not tell it, he bears guilt. So if you know something and you've seen something and you witness something and you don't say anything, you just is guilty. So if you know that your friend, Sister Nay, is out there fooling around with brother, you know you're wrong. We better understand sister, I know something. Better tell it. Because if you don't, of the adultery, as Sister Nene, and brother, you know you're not supposed to be doing that. And I think I just changed his name. But whatever, God knows that, brother, you know what? Low down and dirty. I think I gave him the third, the fourth name now. But we all know that Nene ain't supposed to be messing with somebody else's man, calling that straight. You know, Sister Righteous's husband, you're not supposed to be messing with him in any form or fashion. And if you know about it, you better tell it. What does it say? If a person sins in hearing the utterance of an oath, is a witness, whether he has seen or known of the matter, he does not tell it. If he does not tell it, he bears guilt. Now, if I know something is going on with Deacon and First Lady, I better tell it, because I'm going to hold guilt on that one. And you better know, don't be a gossip and think you know something. If you hear it, I love Deacon such and such, and he's going to be my husband because he's my man now. I know my husband is the pastor, and I know this and that. Wrong. You're going to get caught, and you're going to be just as guilty as she and he is if you don't tell it. If he does not tell it, he bears guilt. Or if a person touches any unclean thing, whether it is the carcass of an unclean beast or the carcass of an unclean livestock or the carcass of an unclean creeping things, and he is unaware of it, he also should be unclean and guilty. And again, it's because of disease. Remember, they are intense. If one bad thing starts, it can spread like wildfire because they are intense, living close together. And it says, or if he touches human uncleanness, whatever uncleanness with which a man may be defiled and he is unaware of it, when he realizes it, then he shall be guilty. Or if a person swears or to do good, whatever it is, that a man may pronounce by an oath, he is unaware of it. When he realizes it, then he shall be guilty in any of these matters. Can't be swearing oaths. And I realized it one day as I was pledging allegiance to something. I'm like, well, wait a minute. This is not right. We can only pledge allegiance to God, because anything else is idolatry. So be careful what you put your hand over your heart to do. You need to stop and think about it. And it says, and it shall be when he is guilty in any of these matters that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing. And he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord for his sin which he has committed. A female from the flock, a lamb or a kid of goats, as a sin offering, so the priest shall make atonement for him concerning his sin. And I can do nothing more than thank God for Jesus Christ. So that we don't have to find a goat or a key of a kid. We don't have to go and get an unblemished ram and lamb and turtle doves and anything else, pigeons. We don't have to do that, because Jesus has already paid it all for us on the cross. Hallelujah. If he is not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring to the Lord for his trespass which he has committed 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering. And he shall bring them to the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first and wring off his head from his neck, but shall not divide it completely. Then he shall sprinkle some of the blood of the sin offering on the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be drained out at the base of the altar. It is a sin offering, and he shall offer the second as a burnt offering according to the prescribed manner. So the priest shall make atonement on his behalf for his sin which he has committed, and it shall be forgiven him. It shall be forgiven him. We got to ask forgiveness. Thank God. We can go, when we mess up, we can get it right. We can clean up and ask God, please forgive me, Lord. Our Lord, I need your help. I can't do this by myself. We got to ask for it. Ask God for it. And thank God we can go through Jesus Christ, our Savior, to say, Lord, forgive me. Whew. Lord, I have sinned. Lord, help me. In Jesus' name, we can pray, and God will hear your prayer and your petition. But if he is not able to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then he who sinned shall bring for his offering one-tenth of an ephah of fine flour as a sin offering. He shall put no oil on it, nor shall he put frankincense on it, for it is a sin offering. Then he shall bring to the priest, and the priest shall take his handful of it as a memorial portion and burn it on the altar according to the offerings made by fire. To the Lord it is a sin offering. The priest shall make atonement for him for his sin that he has committed in any of these manners, and it shall be forgiven him. The rest shall be the priest as a grain offering. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, if a person commits a trespass and sins unintentionally in regard to the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring to the Lord as his trespass offering a ram without blemish from the flocks with your valuation in shekels of silver according to the shekel of the sanctuary as a trespass offering. And he shall make restitution for the harm that he has done in regard to the holy thing, and shall add one-fifth to it and give it to the priest. So the priest shall make atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. If a person sins and commits any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he does not know it, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring to the priest a ram without blemish from the flock with your valuation as a trespass offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him regarding his ignorance in which he erred and did not know it, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He has certainly trespassed against the Lord. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, if a person sins and commits a trespass against the Lord by lying to his neighbor about what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or about a pledge, or about a robbery, or if he has extorted from his neighbor, or if he has found what was lost and lies concerning it and swears falsely, in any one of these things that a man may do in which he sins, then it shall be because he has sinned and is guilty that he shall restore what he has stolen, or the thing which he has extorted, or what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or the lost thing which he found, or all that above which he has sworn falsely. He shall restore it full value, add one-fifth more to it, and give it to whomever it belongs on the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord, a ram without blemish from the flock with your valuation as a trespass offering to the priest. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord, and he shall be forgiven for any one of these things that he may have done in which he trespassed. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth upon the altar all night until morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen trousers. He shall put on his body and take up the ashes of the burnt offering, which the Lord has consumed on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments, put on other garments, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order on it, and he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offering. The fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. This is the law of the grain offering. The son of Aaron shall offer it on the altar before the Lord. He shall take from it its handful of the fine flour of the grain offering, which is oiled and all the frankincense, which is on the grain offering, and shall burn it on the altar for a sweet aroma as a memorial to the Lord. And the remainder of it Aaron and his sons shall eat with unleavened bread. It shall be eaten in a holy place. In the court of the tabernacle of meeting, they shall eat it. It shall not be baked with leaven. I have given it as their portion of my offering, made by fire. It is most holy, like the sin offering and the trespass offering. All the males among the children of Aaron may eat it. It shall be a statute forever in your generations concerning the offerings made by fire to the Lord. Everyone who touches them must be holy. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this is the offering of Aaron and his sons, which they shall offer to the Lord beginning on the day when he is anointed, one-tenth of an ephah of fine flour, as a daily grain offering, half of it in the morning and half of it at night. It shall be made in a pan with oil. When it is mixed, you shall bring it in. The baked pieces of the grain offering you shall offer for a sweet aroma to the Lord, the priest from among the sons, who is anointed in his place, shall offer it. It is a statute forever to the Lord. It shall be wholly burned. For every grain offering for the priest shall be wholly burned. If not, it shall not be eaten. Also the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, this is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is killed, the sin offering shall be killed before the Lord. It is most holy. The priest who offers it for sin shall eat it in a holy place. It shall be eaten in the court of the tabernacle meeting. Everyone who touches its flesh must be holy. And when its blood is sprinkled on any garment, you shall wash that on which it was sprinkled in a holy place. But the earthen vessels in which it is boiled shall be broken. And if it is boiled in a bronze pot, it shall be both scourged and rinsed in water. All the males among the priests may eat it. It is most holy. But no sin offering from which any of the blood is brought into the tabernacle meeting to make atonement in the holy place shall be eaten. It shall be burned in the fire. Hallelujah. Everything that God says do, we must do. And this is what in Leviticus 5 and 17, if a person sins, though he does not know it, yet he is guilty, shall bear his iniquity. Guilt is real, is what Dr. Stanley tells us. It's not merely a feeling. Sinners may feel no guilt, but in fact bear great guilt. This is why we need the blood of Christ to cleanse us from all sin. Thank you, God, for your son. Leviticus 6 and 5. All that above which he has sworn falsely, he shall restore to its full value and one-fifth more to it. When we have defrauded or hurt someone, genuine repentance requires restitution. It is not enough to say, I'm sorry, or please forgive me. We are to put right what we have done wrong. So many times we want to just say, oh, forgive me. And, you know, I love it how my kids, when they know they did something wrong, I do that little half-hearted, sorry, I'm sorry. And that's how it comes out, I'm sorry. And you know it's half-hearted. You know they're not sorry, but they'll say it anyway, I'm sorry, with the eye roll. We got to remember that when we say we're sorry, that when we repent, we got to repent for real. And if it is a restitution situation, we got to make restitution. So let's get into Leviticus chapter 7. And it says, likewise, this is the law of the trespass offering. It is most holy. In the place where they kill the burnt offering, they shall kill the trespass offering. And its blood he shall sprinkle all around on the altar. And he shall offer from it all its fat, the fat tail and the fat that covers the entrails, the two kidneys and the fat that is on them by the flanks, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys. He shall remove, and the priest shall burn them on the altar as an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a trespass offering. Every male among the priests may eat it. It shall be eaten in the holy place. It is most holy. The trespass offering is like the sin offering. There is one law for them. Both the priest who makes atonement with it shall have it, and the priest who offers anyone's burnt offering, that priest shall have it for himself, the skin of the burnt offering which he has offered. Also, every grain offering that is baked in the oven and all that is prepared in the covered pan or in a pan shall be the priest who offers it. Every grain offering, whether mixed with oil or dry, shall belong to all the sons of Aaron, to one as much as the other. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace offering, which he shall offer to the Lord. If he offers it for thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, or cakes or blended flour mixed with oil besides the cake as his offering. He shall offer leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of the peace of his peace offering, and from it he shall offer one cake from each offering as a heave offering to the Lord. It shall belong to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the peace offering. The flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering is a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offers his sacrifice. But on the next day, the remainder of it also may be eaten. The remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day may be burned with fire. And if any of it, the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering is eaten at all, on the third day it shall not be accepted, nor shall it be imputed to him. It shall be an abomination to him who offers it, and the person who eats it shall bear guilt. The flesh that touches any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burned with fire. And as for the clean flesh, all who are clean may eat of it. But the person who eats the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering that belongs to the Lord while he is unclean, that person shall be put off from his people. Moreover, the person who touches any unclean thing, such as human uncleanliness or an unclean animal or any abominable unclean thing, who eats the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering that belongs to the Lord, that person shall be cut off from his people. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, you shall not eat any fat of ox or sheep or goat, and the fat of an animal that dies naturally, and the fat of that is torn by wild beasts may be used in any other way, but you shall by no means eat it. For whoever eats the fat of the animal which men offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, the person who eats it shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, you shall not eat any blood in any of your dwellings, whether of bird or beast. Whoever eats any blood, that person shall be cut off from his people. In other words, don't come up to God with no rare steak. I want it rare. I want it to be able to move. Nuh-uh. The word of God says don't be eating no bloody mess. That's just God's word, not mine. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, he who offers a sacrifice of his peace offering to the Lord shall bring his offering to the Lord from the sacrifice of his peace offering. His own hand shall bring the offering made by fire to the Lord. the fat with the breast he shall bring, that the breast may be waved as a wave offering before the Lord, and the priest shall burn the fat on the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his son's. Also the right thigh you shall give to the priest as a heave offering from the sacrifices of your peace offering. He among the sons of Aaron who offers the blood of the peace offering, and the fat shall have the right thigh for his part. For the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the heave offering, I have taken children of Israel from the sacrifice of their peace offering, and I have given them to Aaron the priest and to his sons from the children of Israel by a statute forever. This is the consecrated portion for Aaron and his sons from the offering made by fire to the Lord. On the day when Moses presented them to minister to the Lord as priests, the Lord commanded this to be given to them by the children of Israel. On the day that he anointed them by a statute forever throughout their generations. This is the law of the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, the sin offerings, the trespass offerings, the consecrations, and the sacrifice of the peace offering, which the Lord commanded Moses on Mount Sinai on the day when he commanded the children of Israel to offer their offerings to the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, the anointing oil, a bull as a sin offering, two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread, and gather all the congregation together at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the congregation was gathered together at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And Moses said to the congregation, this is what the Lord commanded to be done. Then Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. And he put the tunic on him, girded him with the sash, clothed him with the robe, and put the ephod on him, and he girded him with the intricately woven band on the ephod, and with the tied, and then with it tied the ephod on him. Then he put the breastplate on him, and he put the Urim and the Thummim in the breastplate, and he put the turban on his head. Also on the turban on its front, he put the golden plate, the holy crown, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Also Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was in it and consecrated them. He sprinkled some of it on the altar seven times, anointed the altar and all its utensils and the laver and its base to consecrate them. And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. Then Moses brought Aaron's sons and put tunics on them, girded them with sashes, and put hats on them as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he brought the bull for the sin offering. Then Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the bull for the sin offering, and Moses killed it. Then he took the blood and put some on the horns of the altar all around with his finger and purified the altar. And he poured the blood at the base of the altar and consecrated it to make atonement for it. Then he took all the fat that was on the utensils, the fatty lobe attached to the liver and the kidney, the two kidneys with their fat. And Moses burned them on the altar. But the bull, its side and its flesh and its offal, he burned with fire outside the camp as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then he brought the ram as the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and Moses killed it. Then he sprinkled the blood all around on the altar, and he cut the ram into pieces, and Moses burned the head, the pieces, and the fat. Then he washed the entrails and the legs in water. And Moses burned the whole ram on the altar. It was a burnt sacrifice for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he brought the second ram, the ram of consecration. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands on the head of the ram, and Moses killed it. Also he took some of the blood and put it on the tip of Aaron's right ear and on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. Then he brought Aaron's sons and Moses put some of the blood on the tips of their right ears, on the thumbs of their right hand, and on the big toe of their right foot. And Moses sprinkled the blood all around on the altar. Then he took the fat and the fat tail, all the fat that was on the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, the two kidneys and their fat, and the right thigh. And from the basket of unleavened bread that was before the Lord, he took one unleavened cake, a cake of bread anointed with oil, and one wafer, and put them on the fire and on the right thigh. And he put all these in Aaron's hand and his son's hand and waved them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then Moses took them from their hands and burned them on the altar, on the burnt offering. They were consecrated offerings for a sweet aroma. That was an offering made by fire to the Lord. And Moses took the breast and waved it as a wave offering before the Lord. It was Moses' part of the ram of consecration, as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then Moses took some of the anointing oil and some of the blood which was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron, on his garments, on his sons, and on the garments of his sons with him. And he consecrated Aaron, his garments, his sons, and the garments of the sons with him. And Moses said to Aaron and his sons, boil the flesh at the door of the tabernacle meeting, and eat it therefore with the bread that is in the basket of a consecration offering, as I commanded, saying, Aaron and his sons shall eat it. What remains of the flesh and of the bread you shall burn with fire, and you shall not go outside of the door of the tabernacle of the meeting for 7 days until the days of your consecration are ended. For 7 days he shall consecrate you, as he has done this day, so the Lord has commanded to do, to make atonement for you. Therefore you shall stay at the door of the tabernacle meeting day and night for 7 days and keep the charge of the Lord, so that you may not die, for so I have been commanded. So Aaron and his sons did all the things that the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses. And to go back and look at a life lesson from chapter 7 and 8 of Leviticus. And we have a life example, Aaron, a fatal compromise. In Leviticus 8, 2 and 3, Aaron, Moses' right-hand man, as spokesman during the time of the Exodus, received a very high divine calling to serve as a priest for the liberated nation. Because this enormous task also carried great responsibility, such a man had to live in a manner beyond reproach. Aaron, unfortunately, had a weakness for unwise compromise. At a crucial time, when Moses and his people needed him to stand strong, he gave in to the clamoring of the Israelites and forced a golden calf for them to worship. Through his failure, he missed out on God's very best for himself and doomed a number of Israelites to a fatal encounter with a holy God. Aaron's compromise led to the death of 3,000 of his fellow Hebrews. Exodus 32 and 28. We'll see that later. Oh, we saw that. I'm sorry. We did see that in the book of Exodus. Aaron reminds us that God requires full obedience to his word, no matter how tempting it may be to feel compromised. We cannot compromise with God's word, and we cannot compromise in our faith. Leviticus 8:35, so I've been commanded. Even in worship, Moses did only what God had commanded him. God takes the lead we ought to follow. God's greatest servants understood this, and so should we. If we want to serve him, we got to learn obedience. Leviticus chapter 9 and 10. It came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, and he said to Aaron, take for yourself a young bull as a sin offering and a ram as a burnt offering without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. And to the children of Israel you shall speak, saying, take a kid of the goats as a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year, without blemish as a burnt offering. Also, a bull and ram as peace offerings to sacrifice before the Lord, and a grain offering mixed with oil. For today the Lord will appear to you. So they brought what Moses commanded before the tabernacle meeting. And all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. Then Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded you to do, and the glory of the Lord will appear to you." And Moses said to Aaron, "Go to the altar, offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, and make atonement for yourself and for the people. Offer the offering of the people and make atonement for them as the Lord commanded." Aaron therefore went to the altar and killed the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. Then his sons, Aaron, brought the blood to him, and he dipped his finger in the blood, put it on the horns of the altar, and poured the blood at the base of the altar. But the fat, the kidneys, the fatty lobe from the liver of the sin offering, he burned on the altar as the Lord had commanded Moses. The flesh and the eyes he burned with fire outside the camp. And he killed the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons presented to him the blood, which he sprinkled all around the altar. Then they presented the burnt offering to him with its pieces and heads, and he burned them on the altar. And he washed the entrails, the legs, and burned them on the burnt offering on the altar. Then he brought the people's offering and took the goat, which was the sin offering for the people, and killed it and offered it for sin like the first one. And he brought the burnt offerings and offered it according to the prescribed manner. Then he brought the grain offering, took a handful of it and burned it on the altar beside the burnt sacrifice of the morning. He also killed the bull and the ram as sacrifices of peace, offerings which were for the people. And Aaron's son presented to him the blood, which he sprinkled all around on the altar, and the fat from the bull and the ram, and fatty tail that covered the entrails, and the kidney and the fatty lobe attached to the liver, and they put the fat on the breast. Then he burned the fat on the altar, but the breast and the right thigh Aaron waved as a wave offering before the Lord as Moses had commanded. Then Aaron lifted his hand toward the people, blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offering. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, and the fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified." So Aaron held his peace. Then Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said to them, "Come near, carry your brother from before the sanctuary of the camp." So they went near and carried them by their tunics out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said to Aaron and to Eleazar and to Ithamar, his sons, "Do not uncover your head nor tear your clothes, lest you die and wrath come upon all the people. But let your brother, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord has kindled. You shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle or from the door of the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. For the anointing of oil the Lord is upon you." And they did according to the word of Moses. Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, "Do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that you may distinguish between holy and unholy, between clean and unclean and clean, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken to them by the hand of Moses. And Moses spoke to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons, who were left. Take the grain offering that remains of the offering made by fire to the Lord, and let it without leaven, and eat it without leaven inside the altar, for it is most holy. You shall eat it in a holy place, because it is your due and your son's due. It is your due. Of the sacrifice made by fire to the Lord, for so I have been commanded, the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the heave offering, you shall eat in a clean place, you and your sons and your daughters with you, for they are your due and your sons' due, which are given from the sacrifices of peace offerings of the children of Israel. The thigh of the heave offering and the breast of the wave offering they shall bring with the offerings of fat made by fire to offer as a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be yours and your sons with you by a statute forever, as the Lord has commanded. Then Moses made a careful inquiry about the goat of the sin offering, and there it was burned up. And he was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, the sons of Aaron, who were left, saying, why have you not eaten the sin offering in a holy place, since it is most holy? And God has given it to you to bear the guilt of the congregation, to make atonement for them before the Lord. See, its blood was not brought inside the holy place. Indeed, you should have eaten it in the holy place as I commanded. And Aaron said to Moses, look, this day they have offered their burnt offering before the Lord, and such things have befallen me. If I had eaten the sin offering today, would it have been accepted in the sight of the Lord? So when Moses heard that, he was content. Now Aaron's like, listen, I'd have lost my son. I'd have been through some things. You know, I can't be atoning for anybody when I need to do it for myself, because I'm hurting. You know, he wanted his brother to understand. You know, I understand where you're coming from, but I understand where I'm coming from. And this is what some life lessons from chapter 10 says. Make sure, I don't think there was one for 9. It was not. It says, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. While we no longer live under the Mosaic law, God's nature has not changed. We can never forget that we serve a holy God who insists on being treated as holy. Come on now. And Leviticus 10 and 19, which I just read, if I had eaten the sin offering today, would it have been accepted in the sight of the Lord? God is holy, and yet he is also merciful. We should never forget his holiness and never take for granted his mercy. Woo, what a word this morning. I told y'all it was good. And we're going to go to our psalm this morning. And we're going to start in the 24th psalm. And I just have to go back and just give a title, because our title comes from the 24th psalm this morning. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. And the word of God in our psalm this morning is a psalm of David. Is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, Selah. Ooh, what a word. What a word this morning. I'm all filled up. The 24th Psalm, verses 7 through 10. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. who is the King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Hallelujah. We got to know who the King is. We got to know that he does not play. We got to know that he is in charge of everything. There is no us without God. Hallelujah. And we got to remember that. We give God the glory. It's not about him, not about her, not about anything, but it's all about the Lord God who created us, who breathed the breath of life in us, who loved us unconditionally. Hallelujah. Thanking God this morning. Who is the King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. The Lord is not only glorious, he is the King of glory. He is the greatest in glory, the pinnacle of excellence, the mountaintop of majesty, the summit of splendor. He is over all eternally blessed God. Hallelujah. Our God is great and greatly to be praised. But we must never forget who is in charge of our life, and it is the Most High God. 25th Psalm, verses 1 through 7. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. Lead me in your truth and teach me, you, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Hallelujah. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for you, for your goodness sake, O Lord. As Leandria God say, Lord, deliver me. We got to know that God is in charge. And I have a life question for this 25th Psalm, you know, as well as a life lesson. And the life question is this. Why should we know the ways of God? In order to know someone intimately, you can't just know what they do. You must know their character and their heart. You have to know what motivates them. The same is true for God. Unfortunately, sometimes we know about God, but we really don't know him. Even more unfortunate is that we're satisfied with just knowing a few facts about him. Yet God wants us to truly know and love him. Because what is it, Mary say? Do you love God? You don't love God. What's wrong with you? We got to love God. Do you love God? We got to love him. Here are six reasons Dr. Stanley gives us to know God's ways. Number one, we should know the ways of God because they are essential in knowing him. Number two, we should know the ways of God because he requires that we know them. Number three, we should know the ways of God because they are the yearning of his heart. Number four, we should know the ways of God because he loves us. Number five, we should know the ways of God because they are the best way. Number six, we should know the ways of God because they are the pathway to success. God's way offers the true path to success, which is real success. The world's definition involves wealth and power, but true success is godly living. When we imitate his ways. He blesses us above and beyond our imagination. Are you imitating God today? In our psalm, a life lesson, show me your ways, O Lord, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all day. We learn God's ways and his truth over time, and we do not become experts in the things of God overnight. He takes years to mold his servants into the likeness of his son. So we must beware of growing impatient. We can't be impatient as we wait on the Lord. And just go back over some of the how we get to know God. And number one, Dr. Stanley tells us, why should we know the ways of God? Because they are essential to know him. Why should we learn the ways of God? Because we can get to know God's heart by learning about his ways. Life's greatest pleasure is knowing him personally, intimately. You know, and number two, we should know the ways of God because he requires that we know them. God commands us to know his ways. Deuteronomy 10 and 12 tells us that God requires that we should fear him, walk in all his ways, and love him. And since God requires us to know his ways, he will certainly help us to understand them. We will learn his ways one at a time as we ask him to show us. Are you asking? You have not because you ask not. Come on now. And as we go back into number three, we should know the ways of God because they are the yearning of his heart. God deeply desires our fellowship. This fact alone should motivate us to seek him more passionately. He wants us to know him in a deep and meaningful way. Number four, we should know the ways of God because he loves us. God offers us his way, which is the wisest way because he is an all-knowing God who loves us and desires the best for us. He wants each of us to realize that his way is so much better than our own, and it's the only way we'll be truly happy. Number five, we should know the ways of God because they are the best way. No matter what situation we face, no matter how difficult a choice it may be, we can be certain that God's way is the best way, even if it is a difficult and painful one. Been there. God will guide us and will give us the strength and wisdom to face our circumstances in a godly manner. Number six, we should know the way of God because they are the pathway to success. God's way offers the true path to success. What is real success? The world's definition involves wealth and power. But true success is godly living. When we imitate his ways, he blesses us above and beyond our imagination. What a wonderful word today. And before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And I can tell you, it is a good word. And Sister Carolyn just says this. There is nothing that you will ever go through whereas God is not with you. Have a fantastic Friday. Remember, who is the Lord? He is the Lord God Almighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Hallelujah. I just thank him this morning. And I just have a prayer as we get ready to wrap up. I thank for those that must leave at 8 o'clock. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And our prayer for this 17th day of February is this: illusion of control. Give yourself completely to God. Stand against the devil, and the devil will run from you. James 4 and 7. God, you are the source of every good and perfect gift. Your words are laced with love, peace, and joy. Come on now. Even in correction, you are kind and good. I give you all I am, Lord. You can have it all. I invite you in, Holy Spirit, to search all of me. Guide me in wisdom and all truth. Let my feet stay on the path of your great love that covers everything. I don't need to have all the answers in order to follow you. Today and every day, I follow you. Your word says that the devil, our enemy, has come to steal, kill, and destroy. You have come to give life that never ends. I would rather be found with you in the light of life, yielding to the mystery than struggle in darkness of fear and logic as my only guide. I pray that today I will be filled with peace as I walk surrendered to you. Whew. And the word for this morning is, how has fear kept you from giving yourself completely to God? We walk in faith, not in fear, but we know who is the King of glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. Please pray for our children. Keep asking God to keep them safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. And pray for our senior citizens who have no one sometimes. Pray for the seniors that are alone. And pray for God to please watch over the most vulnerable among us, our seniors and our children. Thank you very much, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day, knowing that this is a day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Have a great day, family, and please, God willing, join me Sunday morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we have New Testament and Proverbs Sunday. Thank you so much, and be blessed. Have a great weekend. God bless you. It's a wrap.